Let us start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just we come before you again, night five, Lord, to pray and to lift up just all of the struggles, the challenges that we go through in life, Lord, and to bring supplications for the lost, for the weak, Lord. And we ask that tonight you would just speak through me, Lord, and that you would be glorified and honored, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right. Be all in. To be honest, this Devo has been a challenge. just the past couple weeks, every time I work on it, the Lord just tells me something else, that I'm not good enough. Not that I'm not good enough, but that he's still working on me, right? It's that sanctification is ongoing. But yeah, just really being all in. What does that look like? How do we do that? So we're going to start in Hebrews 12 again. You can turn there. It's kind of become the unofficial theme. I'm not sure if it's the official theme, just Hebrews 12 to the Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, right? So we're going to start and read those first two verses in Hebrews 12. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." All right, so we started out on Monday with Dominic, right? And he expounded on the need for us to shed that weight, right? The weight that clings so closely. And then the next night, Tim talked about we have to keep our perspective fixed on Jesus, right? We have to have a biblical perspective, knowing that we get our faith from Jesus as we navigate this chaotic world, right? And then last night, Chris, he shared about how we are to worship our God, our amazing God, the only one worthy of our worship, deserving of our worship, by being a living sacrifice. And so tonight I'm going to build on that. What the Lord really challenged me with over the last couple weeks is what does it look like to really run the race, right? Not walk the race, not sit on the sidelines of the race, to really be a living sacrifice, right? So in verse 1, we see a challenge. That challenge is, let us run the race with endurance that is set before us, which we do by looking to Jesus. Verse 2, right? It says, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we look to Jesus as our example, of course, right? He endured the cross, that the most heinous pain you could possibly imagine. And then it also says there in verse 2, he despised the shame of being spat on, being humiliated, rejected by the people he loved. In the same way, we should expect to be ridiculed, to be humiliated. So we look to Jesus as our example, but also in a greater sense, as our literal source of enduring, right? It says he is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Our faith is completely by him and from him. He established it and he completes it. It's his spirit that dwells in us. If you want to turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read starting in verse 9. It says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if in fact the spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." So his spirit is in us. What does that mean, right? What do we do with that? So Hebrews 12, right? It starts with this word, therefore. And we all know it's been talked about many times. Hebrews 11, right? It's therefore Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. Just a list of people from the Old Testament who acted on faith. A faith that we just read is founded in Jesus and perfected by Jesus. But they didn't know Jesus. They only knew the idea of Jesus, right? It was a mystery, alluded to, but never fully understood. So these men and women of the Old Testament have these amazing stories of faith that they use that faith to do great things, right? But, so now I'm going to look at Luke 16. Luke 16, 16. Jesus tells us that the law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone forces his way into it. And then he also says in Luke 7, 28, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Again, this John is John the Baptist, so just clarify that. He's talking about John the Baptist. None is greater than John the Baptist, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So we should ask the question, what made John so great? All right? Well, there's a couple reasons we could think of. He was fully devoted to the message that God entrusted him with to prepare the way for the Messiah. He was unshaken by the Pharisees, right? But there were a lot of great men who devoted themselves fully to God before John, all those prophets of the Old Testament, right? It wasn't necessarily that John himself was so great, but the message that he delivered was greater than any message before him. He prepared the hearts of the people for the Messiah, announcing that he is here where the prophets of the Old Testament could only say that he is coming. It was Jesus that made John great. And then back in that verse, though, it says, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So, quick question, are you in the kingdom of God? If you're a Christian, yes, we are the people of the kingdom of God, right? So now I have to ask, what makes us so great? Well, it's the same answer. It's Jesus. It's Jesus in us, right? Unlike the faith of the Old Testament believers, which was shrouded in mystery, we know who the author and perfecter of our faith is, and his spirit now resides in us. So, that's true. How do we live that out? Why aren't we doing more? Have any of us forsaken home and family for the sake of the gospel? Maybe some people have, right? I haven't. Not yet. It might be coming, right, with the way things are looking. Back in Hebrews 12, look at verse 3 and 4. It says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Do we really put everything we have into the ministry of the gospel? Are we really running the race that is set before us? You know, Pastor Ryan Hussein, he blessed and really challenged the men last Monday night, right? He was talking about just challenging brothers to love each other to the point of being able to wound each other, right? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? Proverbs 27:6. It's just another challenge. And I found in my life, really, that no matter where I am in my life, in the past like many years, there's one verse that's really always, it's either uplifted me or it's challenged me or it's just reminded me of my place, and that's Galatians 2:20, right? It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And this life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's why I'm up here. It's not because of me, right? I hate public speaking. I get nervous, clam up, right? Dude, I hate private speaking. You should ask my wife. She always say, why don't you talk to me more? I just don't like talking, right? I don't like public speaking. Yet, not I, but Christ in me. And as I mentioned in the beginning, just writing this, I kind of felt like a hypocrite, you know? God was challenging me to step up, do more, really allow his spirit to work in me. But it's a constant building up, right? The work of sanctification is, God's never done with us. So, and then God challenged me even more on the night of worship, right? We were singing that song, Here I Am, Lord. And a verse in Isaiah, it's so powerful, right? Here I am. It's Isaiah 6, verse 8. But it's really the next verse that gets me. I'm going to read it. It's Isaiah 6, 8, and 9. It says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go and say to this people, Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Isaiah was being told to tell the people that they were going to hear, but not understand, and see, but not perceive. You can bet that probably wasn't a very popular message to have to give. You look at the other prophets, Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, right? He said he didn't have any converts, right? Most of his warnings just went mostly ignored. And then you look at Hosea, he had to marry a prostitute. I think that went, no, thank you. And the list goes on, right? Just the difficult things that these prophets had to do as what they were called to do by God. There's some tough gigs. And I just have to ask, right? Am I really ready to be sent anywhere that God sends me with whatever message he gives me? Look at 1 Peter 4:12. It says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So if the Spirit of Christ truly resides in us, then of course we should expect the same suffering that he suffered, right? We should expect ridicule, hatred, and persecution because they treated our Savior the same way. And there's no way you or I are going to speak in a more elegant way than Jesus did, where everybody just understands and, oh, yeah, I get it. I can see the truth now, right? I mean, we should expect the ridicule that he got, right? As followers of Christ, we are expected to do hard things. You know, not getting mad at your kids when they draw on the walls with permanent markers, that's hard. Yeah. Telling a complete stranger about Jesus, that could be hard for some people, maybe harder for others. How about telling a coworker, right? People you see every day. Not eating for a week, it's hard. But thankfully, as is quoted often in the church, along with the Spirit of God residing in us comes his easy yoke and his light burden, because for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before us, the hope of heaven and eternity with God, we endure now for a little while. But I know I can do more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit that empowers us to move on, to keep going. Lord, I just ask that you would empower all of us to do more, Lord, to do whatever you have for us, wherever you lead us, God, and give us the courage and the boldness of Jesus as his Spirit resides in us, Lord. And we just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.